Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for watching this video of our live broadcast entitled Giving Birth to God's Plan. Many of you listening want so much to follow the plan of God for your lives and have asked many times for God to show you or tell you what He wants you to do. In this video, you will see that you have a huge role to play in this process, which actually begins by your praying in tongues, because this begins the process by which your place in God's plan is born in you. I believe that this will bless you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark Jenkins, and it's Thursday night, and we're live. And I'm so glad that you're able to join us this evening. We're going to begin with some prayer here. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. Father, we glorify you and we exalt you. We thank you for the truth that you have made available to us. And Father, I believe that by your Holy Spirit, that you're going to minister to the hearts of the people. And I believe that their lives are going to be changed as a result. We just thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak with you like we're just sitting across the table from each other and enjoying a cup of coffee together. And if we were doing that, I think that probably one of the questions that you might have, like a lot of people, it seems like, that I have come across over the years, would be what the Lord would want you to do. You know, what's His plan for your life? I seem to run across a large number of people that they want to do what the Lord wants them to do, but it seems like it's a mystery to them, and consequently, many of them, unfortunately, live a good portion of their lives kind of stumbling around in the dark, it seems like, trying to discover what it is that God wants them to do. And I want to hopefully shed a little bit of light on the plan of God for your life and how to follow just the subtle leadings of the Holy Spirit. And what we do to cause the plan of God to begin to develop within us and for us to follow it and the desire to follow it. You know, I've said this before as I've been teaching, that if someone, let's say they prayed the prayer, God, please tell me what to do, show me what to do, however you can get it over to me. I just want to do your will. Unfortunately, I think in a lot of cases, if he were really just to come right out and answer that prayer, in a lot of cases, I think that the people would discover that they really, at that moment, maybe they didn't even want to do what he showed them, that they had an impression that he was going to have them do one thing, and instead it was something else. So the first thing really that has to develop inside of a person is the want to. And once that want to is beginning to line up with what God wants for the person's life, now we're going in the right direction. Before that time, you know, telling somebody, you know, this is what I desire for your life, and they don't have a desire to do that, they don't want to do it. Generally speaking, people don't do what they don't want to do. And I know that's really deep, isn't it? But it's really the truth. We do what we want to do. So the key then is to affect our want to. Does that make sense? You know, there has to be a change in your want to so that it lines up with God's desire for us. Because then we'll do what he wants us to do, because guess what? We want to do it. Isn't that, again, that's deep calleth unto deep. It's not hard. This is not rocket science. And yet, as I speak to people, and they ask me questions about the leadership of the Holy Ghost, the plan of God for their life, it seems like they're walking around in the dark, and they have no idea. But let me just give you a couple of examples from my own life. One of the ways that Debbie and I have discovered this is by experience. I'll give you an example. When we moved to Florida, we lived in an apartment for a couple of years, and we just had an idea that maybe we wanted to have a house. Debbie wanted to have a house. Did we hear anything from God that God said, you're going to go buy a house? Absolutely not. But what we did have is a desire begin to build, particularly in Debbie, for a house, and then in me. And it's interesting that throughout the course of our marriage, it's been that way, that one of the two of us will begin to have a desire in a certain direction. And then later, as time progresses, the other one will begin to have the same desire. And when those two match, generally speaking, we know that this is a desire that's been birthed inside of us because we've prayed in tongues and because the Holy Ghost is wanting us to go that direction. So we began to look for a house there in Florida. And it was interesting because at that time, the housing prices in Florida, we hadn't experienced the big bubble with the real estate. So they were relatively low, I guess you could say low. But we had a particular area that we knew that we were supposed to look in this area. It was the most interesting thing. We would go out on Saturday, we would get the foreclosed listing of homes. These are homes that had been foreclosed, and we would go look. And we identified a certain area of West Palm Beach, Florida, that we knew our house was in this geographic area, that the house that we were going to buy, we just knew that it was in this area. And any time we would go outside of this area, and it was maybe a 10-block area, 10, 12, 15-block area, if we would go outside of that area looking at houses, inside of both of us, it was just like a, I don't know how you describe it. We knew that it wasn't right. How's that? I'm not talking about some huge spiritual thing here. I'm talking about, there was just a knowing that when we left this 10 or 12 or 15 block area, this is not where our house is. So weeks would go by. I mean, we did this for a while, looking for a house. And I remember one Saturday, we were within this certain area, looking at houses, and it was getting late in the day, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and I said, there's one more house, let's just go look at this one house. So we drove up the street, we turned down the block, and drove up on this house. And to say it was a beautiful house, no, not really. It was just a typical Florida bungalow-style house. And there was a real sweet elderly lady in the yard next to this house. And she was out watering her roses. And I'll never forget her. I'll never forget that encounter with her. When we walked up, we walked to the yard, and I was talking to her, the sweetest lady, just so sweet. And I remember telling Debbie after we had looked at the house, I said, that lady could be my neighbor. She could, because I really liked her. And the house didn't look anything special. It was, it was a foreclosed house. So, but there was something that we just kind of knew, that this was the house that we would bid on and we would get. And we talked to our realtor, We gave them a number. We believe this to be the number. Our realtor said, no, you won't get it for that. Well, we turned the bid. He turned the bid in for us. And we won that bid by $500. So what's my point in saying all of that? Throughout that whole process, there was leadership from the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we were constantly, I don't want to say constantly, that's an exaggeration. We had a lifestyle, that's a better way of saying it. We had developed a lifestyle of praying in other tongues. And in doing that, we are empowering the Holy Ghost to do what? To go in front of us, to prepare the way for us to walk in. All that time that we're praying in tongues, He's checking our hearts, and He's also checking the plan of God, and He is finding our place in that plan. And it's not just finding is not the right word. He's establishing, that's a better word, our place in the overall plan of God. And that's happening because we're empowering Him to do it, because we're praying in tongues. If a person's not praying in tongues, they're missing out on all of this. It's not working for them until they begin to do it. And we've looked at Romans 8 before. We're going to look at it again because it's so important. Why is it this important? Because people have questions. People are living their lives, and they want to respond to God. They want to fulfill the plan of God for their lives. But unfortunately, it seems like they're expecting something that I don't know that the Bible really tells them that they're going to have. In other words, if you're expecting God to tell you everything that you're going to do in advance, I don't know that there's scripture and verse for that, chapter and verse. If there is, I've not found it. What I have found is that there is leadership by the Holy Ghost that happens because He bears witness within us, and that's in Romans 8 too. Let's begin in, obviously, Romans 8. So Paul here in Romans 8, he's going to say some things here about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he says is in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," now that word Spirit in the King James Version is a capital S, but the translators here, they basically attempted to identify this as being the Holy Spirit, when in actuality it's talking about our human spirit, our reborn human spirit. So actually that big S should be a little S. So let's look at it with that in mind. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," the reborn human spirit, "they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, in verse 16, you're going to see the Holy Spirit mentioned here for the first time. The Spirit itself, actually, I like to call the Holy Spirit a Him, Himself. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, let's stop there. This bearing witness that takes place, where He is bearing witness with our spirit, there's many different ways that the Holy Spirit, or situations, I should say, that the Holy Spirit can be bearing witness with your spirit. The most common is when the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with you regarding issues that, let's say, a sin issue, something that He's bearing witness with you one way or the other. Is this right or is this wrong? But that's not the only way. That's only one way. There's also the way in which He can bear witness with you regarding, should I go this way? Should I go that way? And then when you start heading in a direction, For example, what I was saying earlier with when we were looking for a house in that certain geographic area, I tell you, it was the wildest thing to me, because we would go. It was like our hunting ground, and we knew it was here's this area, and we knew it was right in there. How did we know? There was a bearing witness of the Holy Spirit that when we would go there, there was peace. When we would venture out of that area, there wasn't peace. It was like, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like taking a shower with your socks on. How's that? It's just something uneasy, something that you know this isn't right. Well, that's what I'm trying to, that's the bearing witness. So, and I'm telling you, some of you folks watching this right now, this is what you're looking for. You're thinking, and I know for myself, because I was in this position, thinking that God was going to give me the detailed instructions of everything I was going to do in the future. And I'm coming to find out that that's not the way He operates. The way He operates is right here, this bearing witness, where you're going through this process of discovering, yes, this is the direction to go. No, that's not the direction to go. Well, there is a peace, the peace of God that you can walk in. And when that peace isn't there, don't go any farther. Just stop at that point and let the peace guide you. See, that it's a lot more about relationship than it is, God, please tell me what to do next. You know, that it's about knowing Him, communing with Him, and in that communion comes that leadership that you're looking for, because you're following the peace. Let's go to further on in Romans 8. Go down to 26. I know that we have talked about this verse, these verses, 26, 27, and 28. And the reason I go back to it, most importantly, is because the Holy Ghost has taken me back there. So I know that it needs to be emphasized. I know that, generally speaking, people are missing this part of the leadership of the Holy Ghost. They're missing it. And why that is, I don't know. But I have a real witness inside that there's a lack of understanding about the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And the praying in tongues is such a key part of that. And I want you to understand it. More importantly, I think He wants you to understand it. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. And He tells you what the weaknesses are. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. That is the weakness. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So He's making the intercession for us. Part of this intercession that He's making on our behalf is involving the plan of God for our lives and where we fit into the overall plan. Remember, I told you last week that there's the static, set-in-stone plan of God, and that involves the fact that at some given point in the future that He knows only, that Jesus is going to come back to earth and we're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to be raptured out of this place. That is, unless we've already gone to be with Him before that point. So the overall plan of God is that point in time that Jesus is coming back. That's set. There's no variation on that. That is a done deal. The part that is variable is my part, Mark Jenkins, and your part in this overall plan. And what you have to understand is that this is based on the decisions that we make, as well as the decisions of others. There are decisions that other people make that directly affect you, whether you like it or not, and has an impact on your life and on fulfilling that plan of God. So what has to happen is all of these decisions that are happening, not just by you, but about you by other people, as you pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost takes all of this into account and your place in the body of Christ, because you have a calling, you have a place in the body. And he takes all of that into account because you made the decision. That's the most important decision I think that a person will make. You made the decision to pray in tongues. And that decision empowers him to take all of these different variables and work them into the plan of God that you fit into, so that you're accomplishing God's will in the earth. See how that works? Because let's say, for example, I think that if you really get down to how people make this prayer request to God, it's almost as if they think that God has already made that decision for them. Now follow me as I go through this. It's like, God, just tell me what to do. And it comes from this idea, I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe it comes from an idea that they believe that God has already got all these things picked out, who they're going to marry, what job they're going to work, what house they're going to live in, all those things already mapped out the instant that they're born again. And it's kind of like, to me, the best way I can describe it, it's kind of like they're trying to pry this information out of God. Okay, God, tell me what I'm going to do next. Tell me what I'm going to do next. And I don't believe it's like that. I don't believe that the scripture holds that out, that he has this set plan for our life, and that in that set, and we're supposed to get that set plan from him and then live it out. Think about what that means. He's got a set plan. Well, what happens if someone else makes a decision or does something that causes whatever that thing is, whatever that plan is, to be impossible? Now what? Now what are you going to do? See, that doesn't work, because each one of us, on a daily basis, we make all kinds of decisions. And sometimes the simplest decision that you make can have a lifelong implication. And I gave you an example, I think, of last week. Let's say that you're driving home, and you, for whatever reason, you decide, I think I'm going to turn right instead of left to go home. And you get home and you discover if you'd have made that left-hand turn, there was a drunk driver and they were in the wrong lane, and at the same time that you would have been there, and most certainly there would have been a head-on collision. But you avoided that. Why? There was a leadership that you were following, that unction to go right instead of left. But if we think that there is this set plan of God, that it's set in stone, and we're just trying to get pieces of this information so we can go live it out. What happens if that person just makes the left-hand turn and gets hit by oncoming traffic, by that drunk driver? There's no way that the rest of the plan of God could be fulfilled. So now what do you do? Well, my life is a shipwreck. See, that's where there's a problem with that thinking. And see, that's where praying in tongues, and it's the best news that you'll find. Praying in tongues takes all these variables from all these decisions that everybody makes that's impacting your life, and he is working the plan of God so that you can, no matter what's decided, no matter what happens, let's say your spouse leaves you and does all kind of horrible things. You don't have to look at that situation and say, there's no way that I can fulfill the plan of God for my life. There's no way. There's no way. That's not the case, because it is not a set in stone plan. It's not it's not the kind of plan that because someone walked out on you or because some horrible thing happened to you, well, that's it. That's it. There's no hope. There's just simply no hope, because I know the plan of God was heading this direction, and now I'm going this way. There's no way that they can mesh. You know, I've met people that were in the pastorate for years, and their spouse left them. And I'll tell you what, it's got to be a horrible thing. It really has to be a horrible situation for the individual. And I could tell that they were hurt by it. But it does not mean that their life is over, and it doesn't mean that they cannot fulfill their place in the body 100%. How does that happen? How can it be? It's because it's our part in this is not a static plan. God's part is static. It's not going to change. Our part in it is variable, and it is dependent on one thing: praying in other tongues, enabling the Holy Ghost to work the plan so that we can walk into it no matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens. Come, you know, horrible storm, wreck everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, I heard an example that I'll give you, an illustration. It's kind of like this. You know, you make a chocolate cake by scratch. People don't bake, you know, cakes by scratch anymore. But let's just say you did, and you get all your ingredients out there. I like to bake myself. I enjoy baking. So you get all your ingredients out. You get your flour, you get your cocoa, you get your sugar, you get your butter, all those things. And, you know, little Johnny walks in the door, your five-year-old, and what are you making? Well, I'm making a cake. Okay. You look at all these ingredients. This doesn't look like cake ingredients. He sticks his finger in the flour and sticks it in his mouth. Ah, yuck, that doesn't taste very good. No, run along, Johnny, and you'll see. I'll make a cake. So Johnny comes back in about an hour, and you got a beautiful cake sitting there. Let's see, that's what we're going to read here in these verses describes. How the Holy Ghost, and only He can do this, how He can take, no matter what horrible situations, like you look at all the ingredients of that cake. You got the flour, you got the sugar, you got all these things. The Holy Ghost is able to take the events of your life, everything, no matter good, bad, whatever. He's able to take that and blend it together, just like you blend the flour and the cocoa and the sugar. The Holy Ghost can take all these things, blend them together, and make the most beautiful cake of your life. And as you live by praying in tongues, you walk into everything that God has for your life. You fulfill your call. Your call is not supposed to be something that is a mystery to you. It's not supposed to be that way. And it hurts me when I see people, really well-meaning people, they want to do what God wants them to do, and they're struggling, they're waiting, they have this idea, I've got to hear God tell me specifically what to do. And all the time, if they just simply continue praying in tongues, follow that inner witness, follow that the bearing witness of the Holy Ghost, they can put one foot in front of the other and walk directly into everything that God has for them, so that when they leave this planet and they go to be with Jesus, that they can stand in front of Jesus with all assurance that they live their life the way He wanted them to. And I really believe that that's that's one of the main messages that God wants me to share with people. Because seeing frustrated Christians, frustrated trying to figure out what to do, they don't know if they can hear God or not, and then they get this impression, well, I've got to hear him tell me something. And you know, I've seen too many of them that say, I don't even know the voice of God anyway. See, can you tell what a predicament the poor person's in? And see, God, he knew that those people would exist. He knew that those situations would exist. And he's so much smarter than we are. He's so much smarter. He wanted to give us a foolproof way so that we can't miss it. Is that good news or what? Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to Mark to figure out if he hears God, hears my voice specifically or not, because he might miss it. Just let Mark pray in tongues and I'll do the rest. How hard is that? And that's what we're trying. That is what the Holy Ghost wants us to get a hold of. It's that simple. Just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Follow the inner witness. Don't try to make this so hard. Here's what I really get a sense of when I hear some of these people. And the frustration and the struggling to hear the voice of God, to follow that voice, to fulfill the plan of God. Here's what I'm picking up on. That they have this impression that they might get it wrong. Well, dear God, we're going to make mistakes. Do you understand that? I've made mistakes. And even in my mistakes, just like baking this cake, even in my own mistakes, when I chose wrong, God did not forsake me. Thank God. We can just raise our hands right there. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost has been sent to be our helper. He's right here. I mean, it's like, if you could picture this, he's so eager to want to help us. He's so eager. He's waiting. He's waiting for us. Pray in tongues. Just let it go. Let it roll out your mouth. Just speak it out. And he so wants to answer, or to create the prayer so the Father can answer it, so that it will set our course. And it's not to be a mystery to us. It's just not. But going back to what I was saying, it's like the individual, they're seeking for perfection. And I'm going to tell you something. Perfection, we're not perfect. We're just simply not perfect. Now, he's given us the perfect method by which we can just simply pray in a language that we don't understand, and we don't have to understand. And by doing it, the Holy Ghost, we're empowering him to intercede on our behalf and to cause us to line up with the set plan of God, so that we're walking into everything that God wants us to do. Get a hold of that. Pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. It's like the foolproof way of walking into all that God has for you. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Oh, let me make sure. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything here in verse 27. And he that searches the hearts, that's the Holy Ghost, is searching our hearts as we're praying in tongues. He knows. Why? Because he's God. He knows What is the mind of the Spirit? The plan of God. He knows the plan, and He's searching our hearts because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That intercession that's going up, as we begin to pray in tongues, that intercession, He's searching our heart. He knows the plan of God. He's meshing that together in all of the different variables of our life. And as those variables change, they change from day to day. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but from one day to the next, you could be doing one thing, and the next minute, it's something completely different. And He takes all that into account, and you keep praying in tongues, and He keeps working the plan of God on your behalf, and you just walk right into it. And then the last verse is 28, and we know. Do you know this? And I'm emphatic about it because I don't think we know it. We know that all things work together for good. Do you know that? Do I know that? That all things are working together. Why? Is it automatic? Of course it's not. You have to be doing what we've talked about in verse 26 and in verse 27 in order for verse 28 to take place. And then you can know. You can know. You can know it like you know your own name, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. According to His purpose. It's not automatic. We have to do something, and what we do is pray in tongues, and the Holy Ghost does the rest. Now let's go over to Romans 12, verse 2. And be not, I'll read verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, that offering of yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice, I don't know of any other way to do that but fasting. Now, you might know another way. I don't. Fasting is, to me, the offering of my body as a living sacrifice. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now, let's not go too fast here. I want you to get a hold of that. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, are you conformed to this world? It's really hard not to be. I'll tell you right now, it is really hard not to be conformed to this world, to the way this world operates. This world operates based on a system of lack. That's what our economy is based on, is lack. That's what sets the prices, the shortage of things. If you watch the TV, what are you going to see on there? You're going to see all kinds of medications, all kinds of prescription drugs. Do you have this symptom? Do you have that symptom? This is the way the world thinks. And Paul is writing the Romans, and he's telling, or to the church of Rome, and he's telling them, don't think the way they think. Well, Paul, I was born in this world. I've been raised in this world. I think the way the world thinks, and he's telling me that I'm not to be conformed to this world. How can that be? I'm already conformed to this world. I already think like the world thinks. Well, then there has to be a change in the way we think, so that we stop thinking the way the world thinks and we start thinking the way God thinks. Don't be conformed to this world. All right? All right, Paul, if I'm not to be conformed to this world, what am I to be? But be you transformed. And as I've already established before in previous messages, that word transformed is talking about a metamorphosis. In the Greek, it's metamorpho. And it's talking about a complete and total change. So we're going to go through a metamorphosis, a complete change. And that change is going to happen by the renewing of our mind. Renewing. We're going to renew the way we think. Instead of thinking based on lack, based on sickness, disease, all the things that the world comes to expect. That's what they expect. I really think that most people expect they're going to get sick someday. Do you have to expect that? No. Why can you say that, Mark? Why can you be so emphatic about that? Because Jesus already hung on the cross in my place. He already bore the stripes, and by his stripes I was healed. Now, does that mean that my body might not at some point attempt to be sick? It might, but I don't have to let it. Because the truth is, the price for my healing has already been paid. Now, if I let it be sick, that's me. That's on me. But by his stripes, I was healed. Means it's a done deal already. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to encourage you that if you're suffering from something, that the truth of the Word of God, you need to have your mind renewed with this truth, that by his stripes you were healed. Now, I can't do that for you. God can't do it for you. You've got to take the promises of the Scriptures where God has promised you a healthy body. You know, this just came to me. You know, when Jesus walked on this earth, and he would have these encounters with sick people that were Jews. Do you ever realize that if you go back and look at Deuteronomy 28, that the provision under the blessing for Israel was that they would never be sick? Or if they were sick, that they could make a sacrifice. And generally speaking, the sickness was tied somehow to sin. So they'd have to make a sacrifice for their sin, and there would be cleansing. They would be healed. When Jesus came into this earth and he walked through all of the land of the Jews, and he found all these sick people, what was he really looking at? He was looking at all the disobedience of the people, because what? They just simply weren't following the law that God had given them. If they had followed it, they wouldn't be sick. It's that simple. And it has eluded me for a long time. I didn't realize God had already made provision for them not to be sick. He didn't expect them to allow sickness to remain. And here Jesus comes on the scene and all these people are sick. They've got all kinds of diseases. What was happening? They weren't following the law. That's such a simply, we're not following the law. Had they followed it, they wouldn't have to be sick. But that's just a little side note for you. So let's go back here to Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Transformed how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Now, what did we discover in Romans 8? We discovered that there was intercession going forward as we prayed in tongues. There was intercession that was happening. The Holy Ghost was interceding. That he was searching our hearts, that he knows the plan of God, and that the end result, that the God's will would be performed in our life. Now, it says right here, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, wait a minute. First, turn back over in Romans 8. First, it says in verse 27, he that searches the hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's making intercession for the saints. And all in the next verse, all things are working together for the good. Then here in verse 2 of chapter 12, at the end of that verse, that you may prove, I said this before, the proving here is talking about the same process that someone would go through in this time period. Let's say they went out and bought a yoke of oxen, two oxen. And they were going to prove, and you can see this in the scriptures, that you can go back and look, I think it's in Luke, where it talks about proving a yoke of oxen. So to prove a yoke of oxen meant that they bought it, and they really did not know the capacity of those two yoke of oxen. So we're going to go prove this. We have to do this by how? By testing. We're going to hook it up to this big stone, see if they can pull it. Then we're going to hook it up to a bigger stone, see if they can pull that. So it's a testing process, all right? So that's what's indicated by this word prove. So look at it again with that in mind, that you may prove by going through a testing process what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, think about what I said earlier. This idea of I've got to be perfect at following the will of God. I've got to be perfect at it. I've got to be perfect. Does this testing to know the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will, does that indicate that every single time he expects you to be perfect? Every time. That's silly. That's not what this verse is talking about. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect. Now, yes, my desire is to follow the perfect will of God. That's what I want. But does it mean that if I'm at good or acceptable levels, that I'm in disobedience? Absolutely not. No. And to think that if it's not, this is not a pass-fail situation. Either I get it completely right or I'm a failure. That's not it. And you got to get that kind of thinking out of your head, because that's a perfectionist attitude. And that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures, it's like God is saying, look, first of all in chapter 8, pray in tongues. And then in chapter 12, he's saying, okay, because you're praying in tongues, because you're doing this, you're doing what you need to equip the Holy Ghost to pray the plan of God for your life, because you're doing that, even at that, there is a testing process that you're going to go through. And it's not that you have to be perfect every single time. There's going to be times that you may hit the good or the acceptable, but it doesn't mean because you're in the good or the acceptable that you're in disobedience. I mean, come on. So why am I wanting to impress that on you? Because I really get a sense inside that there are people that their life is on hold because they're afraid. See, just saying that word right there, fear, that's not God. They're afraid of making a mistake. And I want that to sink in. Their life has been on hold, some of them, for years. And they're afraid. They're just simply afraid to do anything because they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. First of all, that fear is not God. And the idea that God hasn't already made provision for your mistakes, oh, come on. Believe me, I know mistakes. Of course God's not. God doesn't want us, you know, well, I'll just make mistakes and it'll be okay. And no, I mean, you know, you're supposed to shoot for the hoop every time. But it doesn't mean that you're going to sink it every single time. And just for some people, if you just try to follow the peace inside. He's given me another scripture, so we'll probably end on this one tonight. This is kind of like the step further into this process, and it's in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Paul again is writing, and he said, wherefore, my beloved, verse 12, Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, and this is the verse I want you to focus on. For it is God, which worketh in you. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The willing and the doing. Again, this is an automatic. If that verse was simply an automatic thing, well, then all of us would be doing exactly what God wanted us to do. And I think you know that that's not the case. The same man that wrote that is the same man that wrote Romans 8. So, what I want you to take away from this is the fact that the willing and the doing, what I've shared up to this point about praying in tongues, empowering the Holy Ghost, it's birthing this willing and this doing. The willing, the desire, it's growing up inside of you. And I'm just going to have to use these real quick. Again, I used these last week, my little stick figures. Not a very good artist. This is God right here. And this is me or you. Now, as I described earlier, many people have this idea that God is going to impose his will or his plan, or he's going to tell them, this is what you're going to do. That's not the case. Do you know the price that God was willing to pay in order for you to maintain your free will? And, you know, and I say free will, but I don't think we really truly appreciate free will and what that means. You have a free will. You have a right to choose. And God has paid the ultimate price in the blood of Jesus so that you could make a choice, that you could choose to follow him, choose to pray in tongues so that his desire, his will can be born inside of what he wants. Can be born inside of us. It's not that and I try to tell people this, it's not that he takes his will and transplants it. It's that it is born within us and it matches what he wants for our lives. See, that's how you have two individuals, and without manipulation, without coercion, this one, God, is able to have what he wants born inside of you, his desire born within you, without putting it in there. You make the decision to pray, and in doing that, you birth it. It's not him putting it in you. You decide. You choose. I'm going to pray. And in doing so, that through that intercession is a birthing process. His will, his desire is born within you. It's born within you, but you make the decision. It's you that makes the decision, whether you pray or not, whether you fast, whether you meditate, whatever. It's the decision is yours. And why is that? Because he wanted you to have a choice, to make a decision, to choose him, to follow him, to work, have this plan worked on your behalf by doing what he wants you to do in order for that to happen. He's given you this wonderful process that you can submit yourself to. That process, that's your decision. Are you going to pray in tongues or are you not? Well, I don't think I will. Okay, you don't have to. And then you can sit and wonder, well, I wonder why God's plans, wonder why God's not telling me what to do. Well, first of all, it's because you haven't prayed so that the desire would even be born inside of you, that you could follow that desire. See, it's like we're putting the cart in front of the horse by asking him, tell me what to do. And all the time he said, no, here's the process. Do the process and it'll be born inside of you and you can follow that. How clear is that? No, God, tell me what to do. No, it's not that way. And what we'll get into probably next week, I hope, as I send out the teaching letter will go out in a couple of days. We'll cover it next week. We'll talk about what's in that teaching letter, because you're gonna find out some things that you might not have understood about God. You might not have even thought about when considering God. You might have just thought, well, you know, God just knows everything. Well, God knows everything, and I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag here or make me confuse you. But we're going to find out some things about what God knows or what God chooses to know, and particularly in regards to our decisions. And I think it's going to be something that's going to surprise you. But that's for another day. For today, what I want you to hold on to is this. It's your decision whether or not you pray. It's your decision. Will you pray? And I want to pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every person that's taking the time to listen to this teaching tonight. And I pray, Father, that they will have a desire, that they will want to follow you, but they'll make the decision just simply to pray in tongues and to do the process, to submit themselves to the process of change, so that desire will be born inside of them, that they can follow to fulfill your plan for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Look for our teaching letter. If you don't get it, go to our website, sign up for it. I think you're really going to enjoy this month's letter, and we'll talk about it next week. All right? Thank you, and have a good week. Hello again. This is Mark. I hope this message has blessed you. I believe God is wanting us to see that accomplishing His plan in the earth isn't simply about Him telling us what to do and us going and doing it. There's much more to it than that. We must pray in tongues, so that the Holy Ghost can birth within us our place in God's overall plan, which will have with it the desire to do what He wants us to do. For more information about our ministry, please write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170, or on the internet.